Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are in time to get the 411 on how to properly nourish your child athletes. I'm being joined by an expert who is truly well qualified to share that information with us. She is none other than the great Kate Davis. And when I say great, ladies and gentlemen, she has a national consulting practice that services athletes as young as 8, but it doesn't stop there. She works with athletes at all levels of competition, whether you're talking about Olympics, the college level, professionals. She's the lady who has been there and is still there. She's an awesome lady, registered dietitian and nutritionist. Believe me when I say she's well qualified to have this discussion. And as if the amazement hasn't gone far enough, she is also an accomplished athlete herself. So she knows this. Kate Davis, it is just wonderful to have you on board with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Carl. Yes, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So, Kate, you are an accomplished athlete. You know nutrition. I got to ask you, what did you eat for Happy Mother's Day?
It was quite fantastic. We had my parents over for brunch, so we grilled up a nice salmon on the grill with some Brussels sprouts and little French bread, and it was pretty great. Had my favorite dessert, which is cheesecake.
Okay.
So I was a very happy camper. That's probably like my, if I had to pick like my last meal, you know how people ask you, what would your last meal be if you had to pick? That would probably be it. So I was sitting pretty happy after that meal.
That's awesome. So when it comes to cheesecake, do you have a favorite type of cheesecake or just any kind of cheesecake?
No, I'm super picky with my cheesecake. I actually don't like most like store brand, I don't know, store created restaurant cheesecakes, anything like that. My mom's recipe is fantastic.
Ah.
And the only one I've ever found, I probably shouldn't say brand, but the only other one I've ever found that I like is Costco brand cheesecake. It has to basically almost taste like you're biting into a block of cream cheese with sugar sprinkled on top. So it can't be super sweet or I don't like it at all.
I got you. So Cheesecake Factory cheesecake won't work for you.
No, I don't like it.
All righty. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, I'm curious. I mentioned that you're an accomplished athlete and you run marathons and you participate in other types of activities. And you're definitely going to go into that with us a little bit further in the conversation. But I just want to ask you now, while we're on my friend's eating habits, do you feel like, you know, you have to kind of think about what kind of exercise you're going to be doing based on how you will have eaten the day before or the day of? Or do you just eat and just stay with your routine?
Well, you know, at this point in my training career, I've trained my stomach pretty well, meaning I can eat just about anything and still be able to go train, you know, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a younger athlete, middle school, high school, I had an extremely sensitive stomach. And part of that was just being very nervous and young in your athletic career. So there were definitely things I would not eat, like for school lunch, because I had a track meet that day or I had a cross country meet that day. And I think some of it was a little bit mental, but some of it was just over time as I kept competing and kept training, I would test it. And I always say you can train your stomach the same way you train your muscles. You just gotta push it along a little bit. So now I don't worry about it too much, but there was definitely a time where I was a little bit, you know, paying a little bit closer attention to, okay, I have this run coming up, or I'm going to do this swim or this bike or whatever the case. And, you know, I just want to be careful about the food choices I make. And of course, there's always the aspect of making sure that you're, you know, this is what I talk to my athletes about. You need to make sure that you're going into an exercise or a training fueled, and what is the ideal type of fuel. And, you know, those are all things that I talk to young athletes about, just so they're understanding, you know, what are going to be the better choices, what is probably going to sit better in their stomach, and they can start kind of experimenting as well.
Interesting, because there are certain types of food. Well, foods just break down differently, and you're trying to help them make sure that whatever they're putting into their body will be properly broken down by the time they need to perform?
Yeah, so part of it, yes, is the tolerance piece, right? I don't want an athlete to eat and then get sick at practice, because what does that tell them? That tells them, oh, I guess I shouldn't have eaten, so now I'm not going to eat anymore before practice, wow, and that's just a bad idea. So part of it is tolerance, and that does vary a little bit. There are guidelines. You don't want, you know, very heavy food. You don't want, you know, fried foods and heavy sauces and things of that nature. You want to keep it relatively light and relatively carbohydrate-based. But the other piece, other than the tolerance, is you want the athlete to eat something who's, you know, a food that the energy from that food is actually going to get to their muscles by the time they start training. So if they eat something really heavy or something that takes a lot longer to digest, like something very high protein, I see a lot of young athletes who drink, you know, high protein shakes or eat protein bars before they go train. You know, they might tolerate it just fine. So they're going to say to me, well, I'm fine, I don't get sick. But I'm going to say, well, sure, but your body is not able to use that protein by the time you start training. So it kind of defeats the purpose in a way of eating beforehand, because we need quick energy to your muscles, the type of energy that your muscles want during training, and that's going to be carbohydrate-based. So it's kind of the two sides of it. Yeah, it's the tolerance, but it's also, it needs to be something that's going to efficiently and be used by your body by the time you start training, not an hour after you finished because it was, you know, a high protein bar or something like that.
Kate, I imagine there are quite a few people thinking, wait a minute though, carbohydrates, I thought carbs were bad for you. What is your response to that?
Yes. So the world of nutrition is not black and white. It's very gray. And the media loves a headline. It loves a tagline. So, you know, what I tell my athletes, especially my young athletes, is probably 99% of what you read online about nutrition does not apply to athletes. It's generally going to be focused or angled at, you know, your sedentary average American who is not really exercising. They might have a chronic disease like diabetes or heart disease. This is not aimed towards a high level, extremely active, highly competitive athlete. And that kind of helps to, you know, for them to understand a little bit better. Well, I read this online and I read that online. Okay, there might be some validity to that. I'd say, you know, probably 80% of the time there's not anyway, but there might be some validity to that. It just doesn't apply at all to athletes. And carbohydrates is a good example of that, because carbohydrates, that is our athlete's main source of energy. That's their main source of fuel during training. It doesn't matter what type of athlete they are, that's what they're using. And so to put an athlete, you know, to say to a young athlete, you know, you shouldn't eat carbs because they're bad for you, you've just eliminated their main source of energy during training. Well, what's going to happen? Well, they're going to hit the wall really soon during practice or during a game. Oh, you know, over several days or weeks, they're just going to get more and more tired. They're going to increase their risk of injury or illness. You know, I see this a lot with kids getting sick all the time. They're not sleeping well at night. They might be extremely hungry all the time, or especially late at night, they get really, really hungry. Or just at a very basic level, they're cranky. They're not fun to be around. And we know teenagers are hard enough to, you know, to kind of deal with. We don't want to take food away from them. That's going to make it worse, you know? So, you know, we're not throwing candy and donuts at them all the time. Certainly there's the conversation of, okay, what is a good, you know, a better carbohydrate choice, something that has more, you know, it has more of a nutrient package, right? But at the same time, we're also not lumping all carbohydrates together and saying, they are all bad, and you shouldn't be eating those at all.
And that leads to the next question I wanted to ask you, and that is, you know, we know that there are different sources of carbohydrates. What are some of those sources of carbs that athletes really should be focusing on? And then secondly, related to that, because I know that you work with athletes on various levels, are there sources of carbs and or amounts of carbs that female athletes should be thinking about differently than male athletes? Or is it the same for both?
Sure, yeah. So good question. So with the carbohydrates, you know, I talk about with athletes, what are we doing the majority of the time, right? What is your foundation of nutrition? Because if your foundation is valid, then the extra things that you do that don't really align with the recommendation that I give you, you know, it's fine. It's going to be okay. And so if you put that in terms of food, you know, we talk about marine carbohydrates specifically, since that was a question. You know, you have your great carbohydrate options that are really going to support good training and performance. Those are going to be things like fresh fruits and vegetables, or frozen or canned. It doesn't actually matter how they're prepared, but fruits and vegetables in general are a great option, because not only are they just getting the carbohydrate or the sugar, the fructose, but they're also getting vitamins and minerals, and they're getting fiber in that food option. Another great option is going to be our grains, but specifically whole grains are probably slightly better. But there's room for both, because even grains that are not whole grains, so you look at like an enriched bread, let's say. If it's enriched, it's still got, you know, those vitamins and minerals in there. No, it doesn't have as much fiber as you're going to get from a whole wheat slice of bread. It doesn't have quite as much nutrition packed into it, but there's room for both. And the grain category, so, you know, pasta, rice, potatoes, whole wheat crackers, anything like that. The reality is that those go down pretty easy for most people in general, but you know, most young athletes, and that's a good thing because their carbohydrate needs are so high. It's hard to ask an athlete, you know, hey, could you eat, you know, 3 or 4 apples at dinner time? That would be great because you need so much carb. They'd look at you like you're crazy, right? But if you said, hey, can you eat 1 or 2 cups of rice? They're like, yeah, I could do that. Or 1 or 2 cups of pasta, right? Oh, easy. That'll go down easy. And that can be a really nice source. The last kind of food group, I guess we'll say, that gives us significant carbohydrates would be dairy. So dairy has lactose, which is a milk sugar, so that's where the carbohydrate comes from. So milk, yogurt, especially Greek yogurt, these can be great options. Cheese doesn't have a whole lot of carbohydrate, it has a little bit, that's why I don't really include that one. All dairy is a good option, but if we're specifically eating it to get carbohydrate, you know, really milk, yogurt, cottage cheese, those are going to be the best ones. And so again, why are these being categorized as better carb options? Because it's about the nutrient package, right? It's about what am I getting other than sugar, other than carbohydrate? And notice I use those synonymously, right? Some people yeah. like to say, oh, sugar is bad, right? But carbohydrates are good. That's the same thing. You're just changing the word and freaking people out, right? It's the same thing. There's no difference between those terms. So what else are you getting besides that, right? So if we go on the other side of the coin and say, okay, well, what about donuts? What about candy? What about ice cream? What about pop, right? What about these other high sugar, you know, high carbohydrate options? You know, are they all bad? Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, they are giving the athlete calories, right? And that's not all bad. But if that's going to be our foundation, well, they're going to be missing out on a heck of a lot of things. They're not going to get enough fiber. They're going to be missing their vitamins and minerals. Fiber is important for young athlete digestion. So they're going to the bathroom regularly and not being constipated and gassy. And I would not like to be that, you know, if I was a runner or any other type of athlete. Vitamins and minerals, that's going to keep them recovering. Those are vital to metabolism. It's vital to prevent injury and to help them ward off illness. It's vital for building muscle. And I think a lot of male athletes don't realize how important all of these nutrients are. It's not just about one thing. It's not just about protein, right? If we talk about building muscle, that's what all the male athletes go to. It's about the entire nutrient package. So within each category, whether it's within each macronutrient, whether it's carbohydrates, fats, proteins, that's what we're looking for, is where are we getting kind of that nutrient package? And you know what, at the end of the week, if I can look back at my week and say, okay, 90% of the time, that's the carbohydrates I was choosing, was the ones, you know, I listed, then okay, but you know, 10% of the time, 5% of the time, there's room for the rest. I can go out and have ice cream with my friends. I can go have a can of pop, you know, or something like that. There's room for that. So it's not about cutting anything out, but it is about creating that solid foundation to work from, because that allows you to have that kind of room and that flexibility.
That is awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, yours and mine, has written Parenting Your Young Athlete with a Solid Fueling Plan. Ms. Kate Davis and I will be right back. Stay with us.